Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Violence has erupted again in the Middle East with a second day of airstrikes and rocket fire between Israel and Palestinian territories. At least 31 Palestinians have been killed and five people in Israel, including children on both sides. Yesterday, our Foreign Minister Simon Coveney told the Israeli ambassador here that the loss of life was completely unacceptable. And it's reported this morning that the Irish ambassador to Israel has been summoned to the Israeli Foreign Office due to those comments from Simon Coveney. The UN's Middle East envoy has warned that the area is escalating towards a full-scale war, and today the UN Security Council will hold an emergency closed session, the second in 3 days, to discuss the ongoing escalation in violence. I'm joined now by Dan Williams, senior correspondent for Reuters in Israel and the Palestinian territories in Jerusalem. Good morning to you, Dan.
Good morning to you and your listeners.
Thank you for joining us. Now, we heard the Palestinian militants fired hundreds of rockets on Tel Aviv. This was in response to an Israeli airstrike which demolished that tower block. People may have seen the pictures of that happening yesterday. And Israel's military say they say they're targeting militants in Gaza in response to the rocket attacks. What is the latest from there and what's been happening?
Well, as you noted, there has been an escalation. Had we been speaking 24 hours ago, I think I would have described this as a sadly familiar latest round of fighting between Israel and Gaza. They've been several, but I suspect sometime in the course of the day, perhaps in the coming days, this will be referred to as the Fourth Gaza War, because certainly new precedents are being set. Hamas-led militants in Gaza have established a dramatically impressive cycle of fire. Apparently, they're trying to overwhelm Israeli air defenses with the sheer amount of rockets they're firing over, and succeeding to a degree.
Can you just explain that to me a little bit? Because there is an attempt, it's been reported, to overwhelm the Iron Dome. Now, what does that mean?
Well, for a decade now, Israel has had a pioneering bit of kit with American support and American cooperation in terms of its effectiveness, corroboration. They boast about a 90% interception rate when it comes to short-range rockets, rockets that can be detected in advance. If it's determined that those rockets are threatening population centers, the system fires a rocket at the rocket and basically blows it out of the sky. Now, this was a big setback for Palestinian fighters. They're largely outgunned by Israel, but their main tactic has been rocket fire against the Israeli home front. And obviously, Iron Dome blunted that. Given the 90% advertised success rate, I think what's clear is that the Hamas side, Islamic Jihad, decided that through sheer numbers, they would exploit the 10% failure rate. Basically, if you fire enough rockets, some of them will get through and score hits. And that has happened, as you noted, five people killed in Israel. To the best of my knowledge, all civilians, three women, a man and his daughter, according to the latest report.
So for the militants, there's a significant propaganda win there, if you like, because we've managed to overwhelm this hugely expensive and effective system that the Israelis believe they have.
Certainly. It's a chink in the armour of a massively superior military. So, yes.
What are you hearing from Gaza about the number of casualties from there?
As you noted, it's over 30. To my knowledge, it's now approaching 40 fatalities. To my knowledge, that includes, by Gazan accounts, at least 10 civilians. There is some dispute about the circumstance of the civilian deaths. We're hearing from Gaza they're all a result of Israeli airstrikes. Israel, which, as you noted, has a system that detects the trajectory of the rockets, says that around a third of the Palestinian rockets, which we should remember are largely makeshift rockets, they're not factory grade, they're made in underground factories in Gaza. Those rockets, according to Israel, a third of them have been falling short and causing Palestinian casualties themselves. So there is some dispute about the circumstances of the civilian casualties. The number of wounded in Gaza is in the hundreds, and the number of wounded on the Israeli side is in the scores, to the best of my knowledge.
Now, what about the international response? You may have heard me saying that we've heard the Irish ambassador to Israel has been summoned to the Israeli Foreign Office because of comments made by our own Foreign Minister, Simon Coveney. What else has been happening on the international stage, Dan?
I think the wider international response is largely predictable. I'm not sure it's often heeded by the sides here. Keep in mind that the two main actors here, Israel and Hamas, do not have equal standing on the international stage, at least not the Western international stage. Israel is a full member of the UN. Hamas is considered by much of the West as a terrorist group. So I'm not sure those sort of appeals fall on attentive ears. However, closer to home, there are attempts by UN mediators, Egypt, even Qatar, which has leverage over Israel and Hamas, given that it's been funding massively rehabilitation efforts in Gaza, to come up with a truce. It's worth noting that part of what's been fueling this in part has been religious sensitivities over the Ramadan holy fast month of Islam. That is set to conclude tomorrow with 3 days of celebration in the Eid al-Fitr festival. That could be an opportune time for both sides to climb down, nominally in respect of the Muslim festival, a desire to escape this round of violence and offer some reprieve.
Dan, thank you very much. Dan Williams there, senior correspondent with Reuters. And I'm joined as well by Vincent Jurak, who is associate professor in Middle East politics at UCD. Thank you for joining us this morning. Vincent, what's your own analysis of what's been happening over the last few days?
Thank you for inviting me on, Claire. I think Dan has set out very clearly, the sort of immediate circumstances of the last several days. But what he alluded to as well is, a number of broader factors that have fed into the emergence of conflict at this time. Very specifically, you have the very heavy policing of Ramadan-related gatherings of Palestinians in East Jerusalem, particularly around the Damascus Gate, which, if anybody knows, Jerusalem is one of the access points for the Haram al-Sharif, the third holiest place in Islam. And indeed, on the Haram al-Sharif as well, there have been ultra-nationalist Israeli marches in the very recent past in East Jerusalem, with cries of death to Arabs, ongoing efforts to evict dozens of Palestinian families from homes they've occupied for, 50, 60, 70 years in East Jerusalem by Israeli settlers. So you've got all of that in the immediate sense, but you've also got a broader political context where possibly dangerous calculations have been made about whether, the sort of violence that has been unleashed can be controlled, and a stance as this may be something that gets out of control. And I'm referring there to, for instance, the cancellation of elections by Mahmoud Abbas, Palestinian elections, the first for 14 years, which many saw would have led to a Hamas victory. And in the absence of electoral victory, you now have, Palestinian factions vying for leadership. Meantime, in Israel itself, the prospect of Benjamin Netanyahu losing power for the first time in years, ironically to a coalition of opposition parties, which might include an Islamist party, which has links to Hamas. So Netanyahu, still prime minister, going after Hamas in the way that the Israelis have done. And could threaten those developments.
And Dan mentioned there that Eid could provide a reprieve or an opportunity for both sides to step back here. Is that what you see happening?
Well, it's certainly a possibility because, as I say, in that immediate sense, a lot of this has emerged from the very heavy security policing of Ramadan-related gatherings. So at least there's the possibility of some mediation when you don't have the nightly gatherings post-fast of young Palestinians. Though, of course, it's worth pointing out it's not just Palestinian Muslims who have been mobilizing in East Jerusalem. But there is at least the beginnings of an opportunity there. Otherwise, it is quite possible that this will continue beyond the expectations of those involved in leadership levels on both sides.
Vincent, thank you very much for being with us. Vincent Jurak there, Associate Professor in Middle East Politics at UCD. Not in my backyard. Coming up, we'll speak to somebody who believes it's time to start saying yes to development in everyone's backyard.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.